Garcia v. the U.S. Postal Service, 10-2077.
And I want to know if, Your Honors, if I'm permitted to comment on the last case.
No.
Okay. Other courts have said yes. It never hurts to ask.
That's a first for me.
I've never heard anybody ask a comment. Mr. Levin.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is James Levin. I represent the defendant, Mr. Garcia. In this case, Mr. Garcia filed an employment discrimination complaint against the Postal Service, arguing that he was discharged based on his Mexican ancestry. The district court granted summary judgment in favor of the Postal Service. Here before this court on appeal, we are arguing that the district court's grant of summary judgment should be reversed. And the reason for that is the judge selected among multiple competing inferences in this case. The inferences should be drawn by the jury in this case, so the case should be remanded back to the district court for a jury trial in this case. The Postal Service argued in their brief before this court and before the district court that the proffered reason for Mr. Garcia's termination was that he incorrectly inputted three transactions into the POS point of service system, which accounted for an accounting discrepancy of a total of $13.69. This was done during the videotaping that was done by the postal inspector, Ms. Parker.
And, counsel, we're very familiar with the facts. My big problem with this is how he ties being fired to national origin discrimination.
Well,
you know, tying the statements that he says were made by various people to the time of the firing, when some of the players were different and he didn't report certain things. How do you make that connection?
Well, under the indirect method of proof, it's conceded that he has satisfied the first and third prongs. It's the second and fourth prongs. And what we have here is that the Postal Service applied its performance criteria in a discriminatory manner. We do have certain comparators to Mr. Garcia in this case. We have the window clerks, Vanessa Lewis, Del Thomas, and James Goldowski. And they, it was brought out in the record that they had significant shortages in their cash drawers, and consequences were suffered by those employees. Those employees were not terminated. So the performance criteria were applied in a discriminatory manner. Now, firing somebody over $13.69, which is what it amounted to, the three transactions that were not correctly input into the system, is a trivial reason to terminate someone. Now, I'm not saying that the employer can terminate somebody for a business reason that this court might find is trivial, but what I am saying is that this decision was so trivial in nature that it raises a triable question of fact as to whether that was the real reason for it, the genuine reason for the termination. It was a phony reason to cover up discrimination based on Mr. Garcia's Mexican ancestry.
Well, maybe my question wasn't real clear, because I was really interested in what evidence you had concerning, you know, these statements that were made. He can't recall when they were made, in what context the statements were made, when he talks about these other people who had problems in the post office. He doesn't have any personal knowledge of anything. As I understand it, he couldn't name the different co-workers, and so it was very vague in terms of the evidence that he was presenting.
Well, he did name Vanessa Lewis, Del Thomas, and James Goldowski as window clerks, and they were valid comparators in this case because they were supervised by the same individual. They were both all window clerks at the Hazelcrest facility. They all had shortages in their drawer. This,
evidence of that.
I'm sorry?
Evidence of shortages.
Yes.
What?
Well, it was based on Mr. Garcia's deposition.
Somebody else saying something.
Well, I did read the deposition very carefully in preparation for argument today.
So tell me what it said.
I didn't see any indication that he got it from other people. It appears to me that it was based on personal knowledge. I didn't see that he got that information from third parties. And I am aware of the district court citation of the Eisenstadt case. Now, I don't think the Postal Service brought out the Eisenstadt case in their brief, but the Eisenstadt case involved a newspaper article that was considered to be hearsay, and that's why the court would not consider it. But in this case, we have a different situation. We have a deposition, which under Rule 56 can be considered on a summary judgment motion.
It's his personal knowledge.
I didn't see any indication he got it from third parties. I can make the... I'm sorry?
It's his personal knowledge, apparently. He just said that other people, these two people, had shortages.
I think there's an inference that could be made that it was based on his personal knowledge, based on the deposition, and I think that's sufficient for the deposition to be considered on a motion for summary judgment.
Well, but there were no records pulled on these various individuals. There is no other evidence to support what his allegations about these people.
Yes, I did not see any records in the record on appeal. That is true, but under the case law, considering that we do have a deposition, and cases construing the Eisenstadt case have said that.
Well, when he was asked if he knew the results of the audits, he explained he never saw the official results, but, quote, they said that sometimes their drawers were short. You know, people talk in the office, but nothing ever happened to them. I mean, so I just wondered, did he have anything to support that?
The record...
Subpoena for the... say the personnel record of some of these other people to see if they had shortages. Were they ever cited for a shortage? Were they ever, you know, that was really what I was trying to get at.
I did not see any personnel records in the file on that. That is true. But
can you go back to a point? Can you describe these comparators who were treated differently?
Well, they were not of Mexican ancestry. Mr. Garcia was the only one of 35 employees as a person of Mexican ancestry in the Postal Department at Hazelcrest. And they were window clerks, just like Mr. Garcia. Mr. Garcia was a full-time window clerk, and I believe the comparators here were part-time window clerks. So Mr. Garcia would have the opportunity to make a honest mistake, even more so than these comparators, yet these comparators...
So a comparator could perhaps have been Argentinian or Croatian or...
One was a Polish-American, I believe, and I think two of them were African-American, I believe, but they weren't of Mexican ancestry.
So why do you conclude, on the basis of these differences, that it was your client's Mexican ancestry, which was the tipping point?
Well, there were some derogatory remarks made. They called Mr. Garcia a spick. They said that he was a watermelon picker.
But
they said
that was far in the past, wasn't it?
It was all throughout his tenure there. It was the time element, the exact time when those comments were made was not pinpointed. And that's understandable. It's a difficult environment to work in. These comments happened throughout his tenure. They weren't pinpointed, but they were definitely made. And this is a motion for summary judgment. There was no evidence out there that disputed that the supervisors made those kinds of comments. Spick, watermelon picker, they said, is the water cold in the Rio Grande? They made these kinds of comments. And I'm not saying that in isolation is enough to survive summary judgment, but what I'm saying is that in combination with the disparate treatment between the comparators. And I also mentioned the letter carrier, Mr. Gosek, who was originally fired because he committed fraud on a a registered mail receipt, and that letter of rescission, a letter of termination, was eventually rescinded. So this individual committed fraud, whereas Mr. Garcia did not commit fraud. Even my opponent, the Postal Service, does not say at this point that he committed fraud. Now, another point I want to make before my time runs out is that the Postal Service here has had shifting reasons. The reasons for his termination have changed throughout these proceedings. And under Perfetti, which I've cited in my brief, P-R-F-E-T-T-I, that could be a reason to raise pretext and a possible triable issue of fact in a motion for summary judgment. Basically, at one point, they were alleging that Mr. Garcia committed fraud. They're no longer saying that. In fact, he didn't commit fraud because there was no shortage in the cash drawer, no shortage in the stamp drawer. It's just simply that he inputted three transactions on one day in a 17-year incorrectly. This changing reason for the termination is evidence of pretext, which a rational trier of fact could find to be pretext and sufficient to for Mr. Garcia to recover in this case.
Thank you, Mr. Levin.
Thank you.
Mr. Clopton?
May it please the Court, Counsel, Your Honors, summary judgment is appropriate in this case because Plaintiff Garcia cannot provide any evidence that he was suspended and removed as a result of discrimination. Rather, his removal was the result of an independent investigation in which he was caught on video improperly recording transactions and in which he admitted to making systemic errors in carrying out his duty as the head window clerk at the Hazelcrest Post Office.
Well, isn't it a little suspicious that he was fired after 17 years of service based on three wrongfully entered transactions on one day that totaled $13.69?
Your Honor, I think the context is quite important in this regard. The Postal Service had a systemic problem. This office had a shortage of $800 over an 18-month period. They called in a postal inspector who conducted an independent investigation looking at all the window clerks that suggested that Garcia had more of what they term suspicious transactions, in this case single stamp sales, sales where no stamps were sold.
Was he the only full-time clerk?
He was the head window clerk, Your Honor.
So he was there full-time?
Yes, Your Honor.
Some of these others were part-timers?
That's correct.
So if there were going to be errors, it would be likely, since he was there full-time, he might commit more errors?
Likely that he'd commit more, but not such a disproportionate number. In this case, for example, in 1 month, he transacted 284 single-stamp sales, while his co-clerks did 26 and 3, respectively. This number is far outside the mainstream, and as a result, Inspector Parker, acting on this evidence, decided to videotape Garcia, and her suspicions were vindicated because of these three transactions that Your Honor referred to. But that's not the end of the investigation. She then confronted Garcia with this evidence, and he admitted to systemic errors. He said that he probably doesn't enter all transactions correctly, that he probably doesn't enter all transactions at all, and that sometimes he lets customers leave without paying their full bill.
Did they determine there's an $800 shortage based on the fact that the inventory of stamps is $800 less than the sales show? It's about $800 worth of stamps that are not accounted for.
Resale stock, yes, primarily
so
stamps.
When he sells something for cash, he allegedly then pockets some of it. Somebody over that period of time, $800.
Your Honors, the Post Office doesn't have a videotape of Garcia putting the money in his pocket.
I understand, but I'm just trying to...
That's the implication, out. Yes.
Whatever that, the accounting,
that's
right.
And $800 over an 18-month period was no longer in the accounts at the Hazelcrest Post Office. And that's important because Postmaster Pat Cavanaugh, the decision maker in this case, was presented with a formal independent report from the Postal Inspection Service that mentioned this $800 shortage, mentioned Garcia being caught on video, your head window clerk, person in a position of trust, improperly recording these transactions, and then Garcia's admissions that these were systemic errors. that information was sufficient for him to suspend and then remove Garcia. It's also that information that makes these other window clerks poor comparators. The court was correct that we know very little about their alleged misconduct, other than Mr. Garcia believes that it occurred. But none of these people were head window clerks. None of them were the subject of an independent investigation, and none of them admitted to systemic errors. Those are the facts that led to the suspension and removal of Garcia.
In How addition, do you respond to the claim that your reasons for the termination have been shifting?
Your Honor, the Postal Service has been consistent. The reason to fire Garcia is because he was caught on film inappropriately recording transactions. That's the evidence that was presented by Inspector Parker to the Supervisor Kavanaugh. That's what's in the investigative memorandum. The fact that Plaintiff Garcia suggests that the Postal Service occasionally accused him of theft. Now, first of all, that's not the stated reason for his termination. As I've said, there's no evidence of him taking money out of the till and putting it in his pocket. But even if that was stated, that's not inconsistent with the explanation that's being offered. The explanation is there was a shortage. There's evidence of him not following his job duties, not recording these transactions, and admissions of errors. That's why he was suspended, and that's why he was removed. Moreover, the arguments that Plaintiff Garcia makes about derogatory comments, as this court has pointed out, there's no causal connection between those remarks and his suspension and removal. That causal connection is broken by this independent investigation and Garcia's own admissions. Similarly, on his claim of retaliation, although he did engage in prior EEO activity, there's simply no connection between that protected activity and the decision to terminate him. Indeed, it's noteworthy that Mr. Garcia claims that these discriminatory comments occurred over his entire employment at the post office, yet in none of his prior EEO claims did he mention these comments. Your Honor, the post office had a systemic problem. That problem was put on the desk of Pat Kavanaugh, along with an independent investigation by the Postal Inspection Service. And as a result, they had video evidence and admissions by Plaintiff Garcia that he violated his duties as the head window clerk. Your Honors, unless the court has any further questions, we ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you, Mr. Clopton. Your time was up, counsel. You used all your time during your opening argument. The case, thank you, counsel, for your briefs, the oral argument, your final oral argument. We'll take the case under advisement, and the case will stand in recess till the next time the court is in session.